Senator Baker, so far this session has been okay, reasonably calm. But the powder keg is money, budget.
Always money.
Tax cuts. Mm-hmm. You are a veteran Republican interested in cutting taxes. You are the Senate chairman of the Joint Budget Committee, which must spend money. So you're right in the big middle of it. Let me just start with this question. I hear, actually from the Talk Business blog, that one idea of Republicans is to take all the growth money in the governor's budget, some $110 to $130 million, which he says he has spent, has placed in places it must go. You want to just put that on the table and start anew, which is a pretty bold thing. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes, sir. I think there's a sentiment here that everything needs to be looked at. There's a strong sentiment that we just go zero growth from some folks. You know, that we just, you started out by just saying, hey, we're in these tough economic times, we're just going to spend what we spent last fiscal year. And if there's any growth, we consider using that for tax cuts or some real need areas, some specific need areas like adequacy. I still pick up, even from those folks that are so committed to tax cuts and holding the line, that they think that the adequacy funding is a priority and that we either find that in the growth monies or we find that in other agencies' budgets if it's a priority.
But just to hammer that point, what you seem to be saying is that from these new muscular Republican contingents, conservative contingents in our legislature, you want to say, let's right now assume essentially everybody gets the same money next year they got last year, and let's make a case for more money, and let's have some of that $100 to $130 million for some of our tax cuts.
Let's talk about the growth. Everything's on the table. The governor's done the right thing. He takes the lead on the budget. He's proposed what he wants to do. But you heard him in his State of the State address that it is the legislature that appropriates. And we'll work with the governor in fleshing out that budget. And there are folks that want to look at things across the board.
Well, I interviewed him for this very program a few weeks ago, and he's rather adamant. This is as low as it can go.
Right.
This is without pain. Have you told him what you're telling me? Have you said
we've had general discussions.
We're going to put it all back on the table.
Yeah, and he is he's made that point very vigorously. I mean, he knows the budget. I mean, he's a great legislator, so he knows the process, and he's made his case for how he thinks we should spend the money. But we're going to have discussions. I mean, we've got a big joint budget committee. I mean, you saw the first general appropriation bill that went to the House and it came right back. That was the first bill. That was the first general appropriation bill. So I think we're going to have some extraordinary discussions relating to budget and tax cuts. And Governor Beebe's used to that process. He served in the Senate for all those years. He knows how that works as far as back and forth. He's a very strong governor, too, let me say.
Yeah, are you folks prepared to take him on when he brings in the higher education and the human development centers and the state employees and they start talking about what happens if you put everything on the
table?
Sure,
and let me say, that's the part of this process we've not experienced yet from those that want to just zero things out and zero growth. I mean, that's a noble and in some cases maybe a right thing to pursue. But then you do have the politics of the pressure that's going to come to bear.
This is all going to get real interesting.
It's going to get interesting, and I'm glad I'm just... somebody said that I was curiously positioned. I don't know how curious that is,
I was one who said
I know,
that.
But I'm looking forward to it,
really.
You
didn't want to give me credit for saying
I give John Brummett credit.
I'm not calling you the shadow governor, just curiously positioned.
And let's make to that point. And I hope that the producer gets it on the tape. Governor Beebe knows his job, is so familiar with budgets and how state government works. He's basing things on a very conservative revenue projection, and I absolutely respect that. I respect the fact that...
You just don't necessarily think it's conservative enough for the...
Right. I don't necessarily agree at every point, but that's what discussion is going to be about. And already in the first few weeks, I've had some discussions with Governor Beebe where we vigorously disagreed on some things. But to his credit, he's always got an open door. And is willing to listen and scream when necessary.
Has there been a little screaming?
Raised voices.
Before we leave the budget cutting to go to the tax cutting, address for any state employees that might be watching, which ones of them are likely not to get raises and which ones of them might get raises? Have you thought that?
I have. And let me just try to flesh out. In the governor's budget, you got $23 million in merit adjustment fund. Some of that $23 million is a way to keep pace with the raise that they got this year. The governor came mid-year and went ahead and allowed 2%. So that $5 million new money moving forward simply keeps that going. Then you have about $13 million that would be the 1.8% cost of living for the next year. And then you have another $4 or $5 million that is a true merit-based chunk of money. Okay, so the $23 million is a little confusing.
Right.
There are some folks that say nobody should get a raise this time. Well, does that mean you go back and literally give a pay cut? Because if you don't fund $5 million of that $23 million, you're taking back money that they're getting this year. What does that mean? There are some that feel like we should limit pay raises to those making, you know, under $40,000 or under $60,000, and there's some numbers being floated there. That would free up money per the governor's balanced budget approach for a used car tax
Well, we're going to get to that, but it's fluid right now.
They're going to be fluid. You do have to say, folks say zero?
I know. And
all the way up.
Most likely, some lower income to medium income state employees probably will get some raise, but anything over a mid-range level, probably not.
Yeah, there's a pretty strong sentiment that some state employee making over 100 grand doesn't need a 1.8.
All right. Now let's talk about once you could get this budget cut, you would have to do your tax cuts. And you Republicans, these muscular new contingents of Republicans, you want to cut taxes. Are you of the same mind? I know you're big on the populist used car tax. You want to give the working man some relief. I think on the House side, House Revenue and Tax Chairman David Carter may have some other ideas, maybe even a slight reduction in the personal income tax, maybe some targeted business taxes for job growth.
You bet.
Can you guys get together on what you want to actually cut?
If we want to get something cut, we better get together. And right now there are just a multitude of ideas out there. And really, I'm not so wed to any tax cut, John. My personal perspective is I think we need to hold the line on government spending. The only way you do that is cut taxes. I mean, it's the only way you hold the line in Arkansas. So I'm not so much in there fighting hard against a particular tax cut. I do favor the used car tax. I really like that tax. One thing is it doesn't cost that much. I think it's an easier tax to push through. The more expensive the tax, the more money you're taking out of state government, the more difficult it is to pass. So the used car tax appeals to me just because I believe we could get at least a portion of it done.
But you're getting some resistance within your own party membership. Not against that necessarily, but maybe
just one other thing. Sure.
Maybe some
sure.
others.
And there's something to be said for a tax cut that incentivizes jobs. I mean, that's great. But again, I'm looking at it from the standpoint that I want to get something passed. I'm not a conservative that wants to stand on the sideline and just talk about conservative stuff. I want to get something
done. You don't think it's possible that you all would find budget cuts so you could do some tax cuts and then be unable to decide on which tax cuts to make?
I do not believe that's the case at all. I don't believe that's the case at all. Because then then the money's just going to flow into extra revenue that's GIF money for next time. No, I don't think that's
the case. You
will
eventually agree on a package of tax cuts.
Yeah, another clarification, though, to my Democrat friends and colleagues. There are a lot of Democrat legislators that want tax cuts as well. Okay, and the one reason I'm hopeful that we're going to get additional tax cuts is because of the Democrats out there that believe
we
need to cut taxes.
Well, you all are there are a lot of you Republicans. You're not majority yet.
Right.
One thing I didn't say, but since we're talking about tax cuts and budgets, you do still intend, do you not, to let the governor have his half-cent drawdown in the grocery tax?
I support that, but there's some that do not.
There's some in your...
Correct.
Republicans and Democrats, or are you referring to your Republican colleagues?
No, I think on both sides that there are some, and that's a hard thing for me to get my arms around because I'm for tax cuts. And here's one. Here's $15 million that the governor's proposed, general revenue $15 million, that the governor said, we're not going to let that flow into the state government. Well, I'm for that. And now, I'm not saying no to that because then you're just saying, well, we're going to let that $15 million flow into spending.
But Senator, there's some of your colleagues with whom you're talking are saying, that's not one I want to cut. I want to cut some others.
Correct. Correct.
A significant enough contingent that it is in play?
Yes, I'd say in play. Interestingly enough. Again, that's just my opinion. And keep in mind, I've been wrong more in my life than I've been right, John.
Well, I doubt that. But there are a substantial number. I like to restate things to be clear. There are a substantial number of your legislative colleagues who think that we could better cut taxes in some other way and by starting with not letting the governor have his signature issue, the drawdown on the grocery tax. What is your prediction on that? Do you think the governor's drawdown?
No, my prediction is that he gets his grocery tax cut.
But not without some resistance.
Correct.
Okay.
Everything's on the table. That's really the beauty of this session.
Has it ever been on the table as much before?
Oh, no, no, never, never before. Because it's an unknown dynamic to have this mix of Republicans, Democrats down here. You know, it's like somebody said the other day, when you have 75 Democrats, all you do is kind of lean forward and things move. Yeah. Well, that's not the case anymore. And I think it's healthy to have this kind of debate.
Let's move then to the new partisan situation and to another part of your curious position.
Now, look, I said debate. I didn't say partisan, okay? The fact that you have different views coming out there to debate things, I mean...
Partisan, I meant you have a new two-party structure.
Thank you.
I did not mean the bickering and polarization.
Yeah, because we don't have that.
Not yet.
Not yet.
What I want to do now is move to your ranking membership, minority membership, vice chairman of the state agencies committee,
yes. Mm-hmm.
Which does a lot of important things, mm-hmm. but every 10 years, the redistricting plans start there, congressional redistricting. And this is big,
yes,
because we've got South Arkansas in the 4th District needs to expand because it's lost population. The 1st District, East and North Central Arkansas must expand. The 2nd and Central constrict, same in the 3rd. And you're in a position to be shopping some ideas, mm-hmm. because it's your committee.
Right.
Let me just start with one notion. Is there a chance that, say, Sebastian County, Fort Smith, one of our more prominent populated substantial counties, always part of Northwest Arkansas with Benton and Washington, might it be in play for movement to the 4th District?
Yeah, the numbers match up there a little bit. So that is a scenario that's in play. You have community leaders in Fort Smith that recognize that if they were in the 4th District, they would be kind of the big dog in the 4th District as opposed to one of the stronger communities in the 3rd. And so it's attractive on that point. Now, is that universal in Sebastian County? Doubtful. And we really haven't floated it out there enough to where folks have been able to vigorously weigh in. But I think that's one proposal that's out there. Because if you moved it into the 4th, the 4th would have its numbers.
Right. There are any number of things we can get into, bogged down in a lot of detail about this, but one other idea that's a bigger idea that's been mentioned that I'd like to get your thoughts on. A majority-minority district in which, say, Pulaski County, which now in the 2nd and extending into these predominantly white suburban counties, might instead be redrawn in a way with Jefferson County, mm-hmm. so that we would just not really tinker with it, but change it wholesale,
right.
So that you would have a district in which we could very well see more likely see African American membership or
right.
election. What about that idea?
Yeah, I think that's
going to fly.
Yeah,
or is that flyable?
That's kind of the opposite end of the Sebastian County idea. You come in, you take some delta numbers out of the 1st and put it in the 4th, and you take a portion of Pulaski County and move it in, and you would have that scenario.
A portion, not all of it, but a portion.
No, we're going to break county. Look, if you're going to be one person, one vote, you're going to have to break counties.
Let's get to that, because we've always acted like there's some sort of integrity or justice in we protect our county lines, mm-hmm. and we have actually sort of fudged on our, and 10 years ago, we fudged on it.
Absolutely fudged.
This year, some counties, county or counties, are going to be split up.
Yeah,
some
right.
part of it
yeah.
will be in one district and some
sure.
in another.
There are only 3 states in the nation that still hold dear to the county line, and one of those, Arkansas, has done that at the expense of one person, one vote. We've got to get
it's
one
simply
person,
not possible
one
this
vote.
Time as you look at the numbers.
Correct, correct. And we've got to break those counties to get to one person, one vote. I'm not going to pull away from, I mean, one person, one vote is much more important
okay.
than county lines.
A direct question for you then. As a member of state agencies and a leading member of the legislature and a state senator from Faulkner County,
mm-hmm.
what do you favor in order to redraw the 2nd congressional district of which you are now a member? What do you want to do? Ideally, how would you like to see it done?
Yeah, the 2nd congressional district is almost spot on. It has to move around numbers-wise less than any other county. Less than any other
okay.
district.
But something
okay.
has to be done to accommodate
right.
the what do you want to see done to the 2nd district?
I could see some of Pulaski County moving to the 4th.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Which is the scenario you just advocated.
Well, I didn't realize I was advocating splitting Pulaski County.
Yes. If you're going to split counties, I mean...
You've got to start with Pulaski
well,
because of its size?
Yes, I think so.
So you would like to see... You would like to see a 2nd district in which some portion of Pulaski County goes into the fourth.
Mm-hmm. Which is the, you're looking at me like would, say, all of a sudden that's a strange idea when you just
I didn't just say that. I said counties get split up. I was talking about all of Pulaski and all of.
Oh no, you can't. All Pulaski can't go any. I mean, if all of Pulaski goes.
Well, you could. You just have to change
you
things
change
wholesale.
It. Yeah, that's not going to happen. Okay. That's not going to happen. All of Pulaski going somewhere else. That's not going to happen.
Okay. Here's what you want. You want part of Pulaski, maybe a part that's Democratic, mostly. Eastern and Southern, maybe.
Yeah. Because you're only talking about maybe 10 to 20,000.
Let's give it to Mike Ross and let it be part of the 4th District. And then we get, say, Little Rock, West Little Rock, West Pulaski County, stays in the 2nd. Mm-hmm. Sort of solidifies and makes even more pronounced that it is a conservative Republican district, mm-hmm. as it happens.
I think that's a possible scenario.
The one you personally would prefer?
I would support that. Again, I can say that easily because the 2nd District only needs to lose about 10 to 20,000 people in the preliminary numbers.
Okay. Is this an either or? You split Pulaski and let the 4th move into it and Sebastian stays in the 3rd District? Or could both be done?
Both could work because, again, you're just talking about so few numbers needed to move out of Pulaski for the 2nd District purpose. So,